It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. Are you looking for a beach read this summer? May I suggest your big wireless bill? It's got suspense, mystery, a slightly flat emotional arc, and a shocking twist where you realize you've been overpaying the entire time. Fortunately, though, Mint's story is better. Every plan, $15 a month, even unlimited. That's it. Happy ending. Zero tears.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. See terms.
Third hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe alongside Willie D. will be back in the saddle with us tomorrow. He is heading back from Vancouver with the Predators. They are returning today after their loss to the Canucks last night. They'll be back out on the ice tomorrow for practice and gearing up for a home tilt Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena against Barry Trotz and company and the New York Islanders. Right now, we always enjoy our conversations with Kevin Burkhardt from Fox Sports. Kevin, how you doing?
Good, fellas. What's going on down in Nashville?
Well,
good?
It's wet. A lot of rain.
Oh.
Yeah, little flooding. No, not good. Not good at all. Not good for outdoor activities.
Kevin is the man for doing this. We've been trying to make this happen for a while, so I appreciate it, buddy.
Well, he's kind of a busy man. He's kind of got things
he's
on
got
his schedule.
He's got a lot going on. It's a big
Chase,
deal.
Chase just finally decided to offer me cash, and then I decided to do it. It's really what it comes down to, right, Chase?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Ricky's going to pick that tab up when you come to Nashville.
Fantastic. I'm in. Count me in.
Never mind. I'm not even going there. I'm going to leave that alone. I want to get your take on two Nashvillians that got traded, the big trade. And by the way, it was off. Now it's back on and it's done. But Mookie Betts and David Price, two guys that grew up here, member of the Red Sox, now with the Dodgers. What'd you make of it?
Well, I think from the Dodgers' end, I mean, this team is destined to try and win a World Series for the first time since 88. And for all the money, all the resources they have, I mean, to lead the league in attendance, they've got everything going for them. They haven't gone out and made the monumental splash in the trade department at the trade deadline. So I think the fans were kind of clamoring for it. And, you know, they're trying to win it all. I mean, I think it's a great trade. They got a top five player in the game. And they got a pitcher in Price going to go to the National League, and I think he's going to do really well in that rotation, which, you know, now you put him with Bueller and with Kershaw, and it's a pretty good number three, I think. So I from that perspective, I loved it. I think from the Boston perspective, I'm not sure what else they're supposed to do. I mean, they offered him $300 million, and Mookie turned it down. So, I mean, what are you, I don't know what else to say on that. You know, they kind of set their market. Betts thought he's worth a lot more than that, and he's not going to get it there. So, for Boston, it's tough because the guy is so well-liked. I mean, he's he's one of the best guys in the game. He's one of the nicest dudes around. But if he's not going to bite at $300 million and your farm system is just a mess, it's barren, they had to try and save money, get younger. I think Verdugo is a really good player. I don't know about the other two kids they got. So, look, they brought in Chaim Bloom from Tampa Bay to try and figure this all out. It's a tough one to make when you got a player that's that good and that well-liked. But I love it from a Dodgers perspective. I'm not going to kill it from a Boston perspective because I got to see how it plays out. But it's tough for them, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Also in the news is possibly talks of a new playoff format, which it seems like from what I could tell on Twitter that Trevor Bauer is a big fan of. He seemed to be very excited about that and wanted to express that to the commissioner. Wow, I don't think I've ever seen an active player, go after the acting commissioner like Trevor Bauer did on social media. Wow.
Yeah, well, Trevor Bauer is not shy to say what he thinks. I mean, I haven't really processed that whole plan yet. I like they're trying to think of new innovations to make the game exciting. But I personally think if you're going to change up the whole playoff format, there's two things to it. Number one, do we want two more teams in each league in the playoffs? So, I mean, you're going to get to a point where there's going to be teams that are under 500 in the playoffs. That's what you're going to get. Now, if you go back to last year, you know, you have a couple teams with 80-ish wins. So let's see, the Indians would have been in, and they won 90-something games. And then I think the Red Sox were next. They were mid-80s. And then the NL, I think it would have been, the Mets and Diamondbacks were right around 85 wins. But I think you're asking for subpar teams to be in the playoffs. And if you're going to do that, then why are you playing 162 games? I just don't, you know, there's a lot about it I don't particularly love. I like the idea of trying to mix it up. I like the idea of making it like a selection show. I see what they're trying to do. My first reaction is I'm not completely in love with it.
Kevin Burkhardt is with us from Fox Sports. He does it all, baseball, the NFL, the XFL, making its debut last weekend. So let's start there, Kevin, because I love the product. I watched, you know, all the games. I watched ESPN. I watched you guys. And I think it's really cool the access that the XFL is giving the fan. What was it like getting ready for that from your perspective of knowing that there were going to be different elements like the refs being mic'd, the players being mic'd, being able to have more time for them to fill that maybe you usually would fill?
Well, it was interesting to prep because a lot has gone into this, but we had no idea. I mean, the league is brand new. Everything we tried has never been done before, you know? So, we had a plan, but without really going through it, there was just no way to officially know how to execute it. I just like the fact that I thought that for the XFL to succeed, I mean, the access to me is just paramount. You're hearing play calls. You're hearing the replay official talk to the referee about his decision-making. You're hearing, you know, everything basically on the field. And then a guy scores a touchdown and we grab him walking off the field about the play. I mean, it's just, the access is unparalleled and I love it. I think for all that being said and for all the new rules, the thing that has to happen to keep the league afloat is the football's got to be decent. Not saying it's going to be at the level of the NFL, but it's got to be decent. And I thought it was definitely decent. I mean, I thought the quality of play was pretty good. And so if that continues with the access and with the way that the thought that they put into some of these rules, I mean, I think the league's got a good chance. It's just, you know, it's hard. We've seen it's hard for these other leagues to have success and sustainability. But one weekend in the books and having been a part of it, I really liked it. I mean, you know, I'm not just saying that because I worked the game, but I thought it was fun. It was unique in that way, and the football was definitely good enough.
The thing that I thought was really interesting is, you know, that they tie in gambling. I mean, sports gambling is a big part of things now. It's not just in Vegas anymore. It's you know, our state is legalizing it from an app standpoint, and so that was something that was worked into the broadcast, that you know what the spread is, you know the over-unders, you guys are openly talking about it, and I know from your perspective that has to be different compared to how you've done things in the past.
Yeah, on our broadcast, we didn't talk about it too much. It's really, I mean, it's open, right? We're showing it, we're discussing it. Obviously, I've never even thought of doing that on an NFL broadcast, so I think it depends on, look, it's a big part of it. They're encouraging people to gamble on it, right? And it's smart. It's a way to be interactive in the game, especially in a league where you don't know all the players yet. So, and you know, I think as far as how far you go talking about it, that's kind of up to the individual crews. You know, I'm not a big gambler, so I'm probably not going to go crazy talking about it. But I understand it. I have plenty of friends who do gamble and are watched it because of that. So I think it's a good idea.
How much, with the rules that are in place with the XFL, are there some that stood out to you that you could see the NFL adopting sometime in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few that could. I mean, you know, the kickoff rule is so interesting because it completely takes away the, you know, the high-speed collision and the concussions that, you know, the league has been trying to get rid of for a long time now. And what has happened in the league doing this, the kickoff in the NFL is boring as hell right now. I mean, you never see a kickoff. First of all, most of them are just, you know, kicked out of the end zone. And when you do have one return, how many of them actually get past the 25? It just hardly ever happens anymore. So this kickoff, you know, I was honestly skeptical when I read the rules. And it's only been one weekend, but watching it, it's got potential because the guys are all lined up, so you're kind of avoiding the concussion part of it for the most part, right? And you got to wait till the ball is caught. And essentially what you're doing is you need your kick return guy to beat one guy to have a decent return if it's set up right. So I could see that all day long. I could also see the replay official being mic'd up. I mean, I think why have the guesswork in all of this in these replay rules when we could just listen to at least understand what they saw and what they're looking at, and then it takes all the guesswork out of it. I mean, off of week one, Chase, I love those two things right away.
What is your broadcast partner, Greg Olson, going to do? Is he going to play? Is he going to hang out with you?
See, I was going to try to trick him at the end. Say, Greg Olson is going to play for who next year?
I have no idea. I mean, he's obviously got interest. He's a Pro Bowl tight end. I mean, he's obviously been interested in television for a while. He did a game with Charles Davis and I 2 years ago. So, you know, it's something that he is on his radar, whether it's now or down the road. I can't tell you. I think that depends on what the league decides to do and who's going to offer him a contract. Right. So I know he obviously likes broadcasting and he wants to have a future in it, but same time, I also know that with him or any other player, you know, it's hard to necessarily hang him up, you know, especially if you've got a good offer from a good team. So to answer your question, I have no freaking idea.
Well, he did well. He did a good job. So
he did.
That's true. Yeah, he's talented. He's really good. I mean, he's got a lot of talent, and he definitely can be really good at doing this whenever he decides to go into it full time.
Last thing, Kevin, I'm going to have you play GM on the way out.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you give Tannehill and Henry contract extensions, or would you try to tag them? How would you go about trying to keep them in Nashville?
Yeah, I think that they both deserve it. And I think that, you know, with Tennessee's MO, with the way that they're built, with the way that they play, I don't see why you wouldn't at this point. I mean, you know, look, I mean, you always look at Henry and his size and his body and how many carries. Okay, how long is he going to last? I have no idea. But you're building for the next few years, right? That team is built to win a Super Bowl. And I think Tannehill did just a fantastic job. I know they were a run-based team, but if you're going to tag him, or if you're thinking, okay, maybe we'll try and trade him, who exactly are you going to bring in? They've been looking for a guy for years. And, you know, I thought he played well. I mean, I thought he played well since he got the start. I know he didn't get asked to do much early in the playoffs, but to me, that's a BS knock. That's like the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff. Well, they didn't need him. Well, you know, the games they needed him, he performed well. And when he did need to make a throw and a play, he made it. So I would sign both of them. I think they're both good fits, and I think that team is built to win now. So you got to go for it now.
Interesting. Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
See you guys. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin
Burkhart. Fox Sports does a great job. Really good play-by-play man. Really good at the desk. I was to say he does many roles and does them well. We'll come back. By the way, at the bottom of the hour, Colby Sledge, are we going to be able to talk to him?
Yeah, at 12:30.
Okay. There's a lot more going on. A little bit more layers to the Nashville SC and the new stadium and the fairground. So we'll get into that with Colby at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Connor McDavid is expected to miss the next 2 to 3 weeks with a quad injury. I think that happened Saturday night against the Predators.
Yeah, that goes back to our conversation earlier about they have two guys that are, you know, standing out from the rest. Connor McDavid obviously is at the top of that list. Leon Draisaitl, the other one. Now you're without one of them for 2 to 3 weeks. In a playoff race, in a tight playoff race, because you know, you look at the standings, Edmonton, they're very much in. They're in the top three in the Pacific Division, but it's pretty tight for them. I mean, they're They're 3 points back of Vancouver for that top spot. They're tied with Vegas and Calgary. And Winnipeg and Arizona, 1 point back. I mean, look, it's very tight right now, and you're losing your best player. Not good for the Edmonton Oilers. So
it is not.
It's a tough one. How about the trade?
I was going to say, there was a trade last night, and I'm assuming that Minnesota is, I don't know if they're waving the way. I mean, what does that mean? They get rid of longtime guy, Jason Zucker.
Well, his Zucker name.
Zucker to Pittsburgh, so.
He's been on the rumor mill for a long time.
I know.
Even back to Paul Fenton.
Yeah, no, I know.
Paul Fenton, I think, wanted to move him.
I know. In fact, I was surprised they didn't.
Yeah. He was somebody I really looked as a fit for Nashville. If they, you know, back in the summer when they were wanting to, you know, before Duchesne, and if they were going to tweak some things, you know, Jason Zucker was somebody that I thought could really fit here.
He gets traded to Pittsburgh. And so I don't know exactly. Obviously,
for Galchenyuk and then a prospect first.
No, it wasn't a first-round pick. I think the prospect was a first-round pick. He was drafted. No.
This is what NHL.com says. Alex Galchenyuk, defenseman prospect, Kalen Anderson, and a first-round pick in the 2020 draft or 2021 draft.
Oh. Wow, so I guess, they got a pretty good haul there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, Jason Zucker is a good player, but that's a lot.
Mm. This is, by the way, yesterday was 2 weeks, so we're 13 days away from the deadline.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to our buddy Kevin Allen later on today about that.
Mm-hmm. And we will indeed talk about the trading deadline and what to expect. And this is the first ball rolling down the hill and what's about to happen. Some other news and notes to pass along. LSU has hired Scott Linehan as their passing game coordinator.
Mm, interesting.
Linehan was the Cowboys offensive coordinator the last, what, 3 seasons?
Well, it wasn't this year.
You're right. What did he do? Was he off?
Yeah.
I don't think he did anything.
Yeah, because
I think it's kind of like the Jim Haslett thing. He sat out a year. So he was the OC for 3 years in Dallas, and then
right.
Kellen Moore, the guy from Boise State.
Over.
Yeah.
Who was the backup quarterback to Tony Romo for a long time. And then it was kind of the similar path of Jason Garrett. You know, the backup quarterback becomes the coordinator, and Jason Garrett eventually became the head coach, but Kellen Moore retained will still be the OC. But interesting.
He got one crack at a head coaching position. He was the head coach of the Rams in 06 through 08. Yep.
Forgot about that.
I did not. I remember that. The St. Louis Rams.
So was that after they fired Mike Martz? Because Martz was there after Vermeil for a while.
That sounds right.
And then they went through, they couldn't figure, I mean, they just took a nosedive. They fired Martz and then went through a couple of different coaches.
Mm-hmm. Linehan didn't work out.
No.
But he's going to be the new passing game coordinator at LSU. And LSU announced today also that they're going to play Florida State in football in 2022 down in New Orleans at the Superdome.
Mm.
And in 2023 in Orlando.
Interesting.
So how about that? LSU and Florida State. Although right now Florida State does not look like a very good matchup.
No, but a lot can change in a couple of years. We'll see. See what Mike Norvell can do.
But he's got his work cut out.
He does.
They didn't have a very good recruiting class. I mean, they have just, like, you wonder, are they starting to slip into the abyss?
Well, Willie Taggart just, that turned out to be an awful hire for them. Because you look at what Jimbo did there, and I think Jimbo left at the right time because it was going to be down. So he got out at the right time to go to Texas A&M and got a huge payday. But I don't think anybody expected Willie Taggart to mess it up as badly as he did. So you're right. He's got his work cut out for him.
Linehan did follow Martz. Well, Martz didn't make it through the season.
Yeah. He got fired.
Joe Vitt, nobody remembers that.
Joe Vitt. I do remember that, actually.
I don't. I do not.
I didn't remember Scott Linehan being there, but I remember Joe Vitt.
Oh, I definitely remember. So Linehan was next, and then Jim Haslett, ironically.
Yeah. He was there for...
Because Linehan didn't make it. the rest of the season. So Hazlitt
took over.
He was the interim.
But he didn't get the – did he get the job?
No. Spagnuolo.
Spags. And then Fisher.
Yeah.
You look at all the success they had.
You remember Joe Vett, but you don't remember Scott Linehan?
I know. What does that say? This is what happens, though, whenever there's a coach that's affiliated with the Cowboys that frustrated me and the offense just wasn't working. I just forget about them. I erase them from my memory.
Okay.
So.
And the other big thing is Nashville SC. Well, we're going to talk about them at the bottom of the hour, more about what's going on with the stadium situation, the fairgrounds, and all of that. They've acquired a pretty big name, Walker Zimmerman, who was a MLS All-Star defender.
Oh, wow.
He comes over from LA Galaxy.
I saw that. I saw that was out there. So, look, they're working. This isn't going to be just one of those expansion-type deals. It's first year. Oh, we're just happy to be here. I mean, they're building a pretty good club from what I've been told. I mean, I don't pretend to be a MLS expert, but people that I've talked to, I've asked a lot of questions to. This is a pretty good club they're putting together.
He gets $950,000 in general allocation money and an international roster spot. So those are some of the things that are part of the deal. So Walker Zimmerman to Nashville SC. Big
Very
kid
cool.
for them. All right, speaking of that, we will come back and talk with Colby Sledge, who is a Metro councilman who's not been a stranger to this show, kind of get into the new layers of the fairgrounds and what's going on over there in his district. We do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren and Chase here today. Willie will be back with us tomorrow. We say hello to someone who's not been a stranger to our show, Colby Sledge, Metro Councilman, District 17. Colby, how you doing?
Doing great. Great to be back on with you.
Anything going on in your district these days?
Just a little bit. There always is.
My goodness. Probably haven't had much time to sleep these days with everything that's going on in your district.
Well, that tends to have more with more to do with having an 11-month-old than it does with the fairgrounds.
Well, that's a good point. Been there, done that.
Right.
I certainly can understand. Let's just start very generic. Where is this thing right now today on this Tuesday? Where is all this?
Sure. So where everything is, we are, as your listeners know, everything has been passed regarding the stadium, development, everything happening at the fairground.
Yeah, we did all that with you already.
That's exactly right. So a big part of that had been building new expo facilities to replace the old ones. All those are done, open, doing great. And now we're at the point where the old facilities need to come down for the beginning of the stadium construction. As of right now, there's a contract that was awarded through Metro with an outside demo company that needs to be signed. The mayor doesn't actually physically sign it himself, but he instructs his departments to sign it, and so far he has more or less withheld their signatures in an attempt to renegotiate just about everything regarding the stadium deal.
I keep feeling like this ownership group is doing their part. I'm not on the inner workings like you have a better feel for this, but they keep getting told need more, and they keep saying okay. So why does there continue to be snags, I guess?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. For months, as the mayor came into office, I think he had a very fair question regarding what were going to be the total infrastructure costs at the property. And remember, this is a property that hadn't seen a whole lot of investment for about 60 years. So once he started looking through that, there were some additional infrastructure costs. So he sat down, talked with the team, to my understanding, and that's how we got to this point where the team said, look, we understand we're going to cover those infrastructure costs, those additional costs. And by the way, we're going to take out any Metro funds that were even potentially going to go into the stadium construction. That's where you get that $54 million more, that total right there. To me, I thought that's when the conversation was over, was regarding the infrastructure costs. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone thought that up until about 3 weeks ago. And then it became about, oh, well, also I want this parcel of land. And, oh, also things need to be done with a 30,000-seat venue for NASCAR. And it seems like the terms have been changing since then.
Do you feel like all the conversations that we've had with you in the past of including racing and soccer, do you feel like that's all still in play? Do you feel like all that can still happen at your site, at that area?
Yeah, I think it could still all happen. The issue right now is, you know, NASCAR came in, or SMI, I should say, came in with a proposal that was just vastly larger from a footprint standpoint than really was feasible. And I had a conversation with them and several others did to say, hey, trim this back, get something that's a little more workable, but we're interested in talking.
Can I stop you real quick right there, Colby?
Yeah, yeah.
When you say vastly, are you talking about the track being, you know, they want 60,000? I don't know. Are you talking about numbers? Are you talking about
stuff
attendance
around it?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand.
So they wanted a venue that essentially would expand the grandstand to the point that it was actually going to take over park space that we
okay.
had just created.
Okay.
And it also was going into this thing we know now as Parcel 8C. And so myself and other people in Metro said, look, we've already gone through that conversation. You need to kind of stay within the footprint of the track and let's talk through what the possibilities are there. They seemed initially willing to have that conversation, but they have since gone dark on basically all of us except for the mayor's office. So Fair Board rep hasn't heard from them in months. I haven't heard from them in months. Their lobbyist reached out to me for the first time in months last week while I was trying to get a legal opinion on all this stuff going on. So it's the communication there has been close to zero, and it's really the exact opposite of the very public conversations we had regarding the soccer stadium.
No doubt about it. Colby Sledge on the line with us, Metro Councilman, District 17. This is Colby's area, and that's interesting because when the awards banquet was moved to Nashville and they just did it for the first time, and we went over there and did the show at the Music City Center, and we talked to all the heads of NASCAR and drivers and anybody associated with the sport, they're like, we want to come to Nashville. That's all they could say. And you would think that it would be gung-ho and they would be blowing your phone up or emailing you every day, and you're painting kind of just the opposite picture with SMI.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, in reading through media reports, right, which is basically the communication I see from SMI these days, it seems like the drivers get it a lot better than the management and ownership do. It seems like they understand kind of what's being asked, what Nashville wants to see from something like this. And sometimes I wonder, you know, if this negotiation was more with the drivers than it was with the management, we'd probably have a better outcome by now. But that's not how the world works.
Can you help dodo brains like us who do not understand? You even brought it up. I was going there. Parcel 8C. What the heck is Parcel 8C that we've read so much about and heard so much about?
Well, sure. So it's actually an old fairgrounds building sits currently in that area. It's a little more than 2 acres of that 10-acre mixed-use development site. And the mayor wants it to be a plaza instead of having a building on it. I mean, if that sounds kind of ridiculous, it's because it is. That we're having that conversation about such a massive project that has an incredibly positive impact on the city, that it has come down to how do you design this little piece of land. And I will note, nothing about that parcel or anything else would preclude demolition from starting. And I think that's what you heard from the Fair Board today, and what you're hearing from a lot of people is there's no reason to keep these current buildings upright when we know the stadium's going to happen. We know that those buildings aren't going to be used. we should be taking steps forward so we can continue this conversation, and it's just not happening.
Councilman Colby Sledge is with us here on Darren, Donick, and Chase District 17, which is, of course, that area that we're talking about. So as I try and wrap my head around all of this, you know, I've said it on the show. You may have heard me say I'm a huge NASCAR fan. I'd love to see NASCAR in Nashville, but I would love to see the soccer stadium that was promised now almost 2 years ago to get built as well. I feel like there is space for everybody to be happy and to get everything, but now it almost feels that this has become a NASCAR versus soccer debate conversation, and I feel like that's just detrimental to the city.
Yeah, totally agree. Right. I don't think anybody wants to have that conversation where we're pitting, you know, people who enjoy one sport versus another. And I've actually heard from a lot of racing fans who've said, look, I've got nothing against the stadium. I actually want it to occur. I just would like for us to have this conversation about NASCAR too. And truthfully, I think that's where most people are. They're saying this isn't an either or, this is a potential for both, but we all know we've had this conversation about the stadium. Let's go ahead and get that thing going while we still have this talk about NASCAR. I truly believe that's where we should be. We should be starting the stadium construction while having a productive conversation about NASCAR. I don't know why one is being held hostage for the other, and I don't think it reflects well on us as a city.
So let me clarify. Let's just say tomorrow, for argument's sake, everything is a go with the stadium. They can start the demolition and then ultimately start building the stadium. And the NASCAR conversation is on hold for now. And they get it going, the process. That doesn't mean that the whole NASCAR conversation is dead, though. There still would be room. It's just that little parcel of land that you're talking about that's holding this up.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, we get back to the conversation really where we were 6 months ago, which is, hey, you got to work on this footprint, come to us with some different options, and then talk to us about community impact, because that's always going to be part of the conversation. If we could get back to that place and work with the demo and get the stadium construction going, that's where we have a productive conversation. And quite frankly, that's where we'll have a public conversation so that people can have the same level of input that they had on the soccer stadium.
How much, because you mentioned SMI, which for those of you listening, Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, Bruton Smith, his company, they run the Bristol Motor, or own the Bristol Motor Speedway. So they are involved in these conversations. But how much has the governing body of NASCAR actually been involved in this, if at all?
To my knowledge, not much at all. I mean, typically it has been SMI who's been coming with this proposal, and the problem is again that they've been having these closed door meetings with the mayor's office, and they're not talking to anybody else. They're not talking to not talking to the fair board or its executive director. They're not talking to the council. I don't know if they're even talking to the team. I mean, there is a, you know, I say team, I mean the Nashville SC ownership group. It appears that they think they can work this deal out behind closed doors, where there would absolutely have to be a voting process about this. And the more people are left in the dark, the more questions it raises.
So what, and I don't know what kind of conversations you've had with MLS, but I know we've seen, you know, statements from Nashville SC, from MLS. I have to imagine, though, the frustration with them is starting to grow, because they awarded the franchise. The franchise is going to start play at Nissan Stadium here in a few weeks. So what sense are you getting out of MLS?
I mean, the sense I get from talking with the team and folks associated with MLS is everybody's extremely frustrated. I think kind of reflect the confusion and frustration of people here in the city, which is we don't understand why it's at this point. You know, how did we get here? When we had this public conversation, we had the votes, and we worked through every, you know, avenue that was supposed to be worked through. So I get it. I mean, I understand and reflect in a lot of ways their frustration, but MLS is frustrated. There's no doubt about it.
Colby, I feel like as many conversations as we've had about you, if this actually does happen, which it's going to, but when we finally get to that point, I think the next conversation should be in studio, and maybe we pop a bottle of champagne.
Yes, I will. I will take you up on that for sure.
My goodness, thanks for your time as always, and hopefully we'll have some closure on this someday, very very soon.
Absolutely, thanks, guys. Appreciate
all right,
thanks,
that Colby. Is Colby Sledge, Metro Councilman, and I'm serious. How long have we been talking about this with him?
It's what, 2 years, 3 years?
I've lost track of how long this has been dragging.
Because this all started when Megan Berry was still in office as the mayor, and obviously we've now gotten two since her. So it's been going on for forever, and we thought it was done.
Well, we thought many times it was done, and then it would have a new layer.
They've already built the new buildings that they're replacing.
Like I said, maybe one day we'll be able to pop some champagne when this thing is over and it actually happens. But I don't know. I just feel like this is just going on and on and on and on.
I have a thought that I want to put out there when we come back.
Okay, we'll do that to close out the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, appreciate Colby Sledge for joining us. Hey. Kevin Allen coming up at 1 o'clock. So what did you make of Councilman Colby Sledge, District 17?
I really appreciate him coming on and shedding some light on this, because this is how I view this situation now. And this is what's frustrating. There are two entities that want to come to Nashville because, hey, this just in, if you've been living under a rock, Nashville's the it city. It's the hot place to be. So the MLS was like, we want to go to Nashville. NASCAR is like, you know what? We want to go to Nashville. We're going to have our awards banquet there. That's how much we want to go to Nashville. You have a track that's sitting there that the racing surface is fine. Maybe needs a repave, build around it, build new grandstands. Boom, got a nice racing facility that can seat 30,000, 40,000, whatever they're looking for there at the fairgrounds. There is a deal in place that has been agreed upon by everybody except for the new mayor to build a stadium. And now, because, and I don't know this for sure, but it appears to me that the mayor, you know, is new to his job and he's trying to maximize the investment into the city. He's trying to get the most out of that piece of land. And okay, great. But having closed door meetings with SMI for the racetrack and delaying something that's already been agreed upon with the stadium is just wrong. There is a way to make it work for both. But having this NASCAR versus soccer thing that is clearly started, because guess when you do that, when you have things like this, what happens? You're going to have the soccer crowd over on one side, and you're going to have the NASCAR crowd on the other, because I get it. Those are two, you know, sports that don't have the same type of following as other sports. Soccer in this country is growing. It's popular with a lot of people, but it's still different from other countries. NASCAR, you know, is a niche sport. It just is. You either like it or you don't. But you're going to have those two fan bases now going up against one another, fighting for this, and it shouldn't be that way. I'm one of those people that I want to see them both happen, because I've been over there. Newsflash. It can happen. You can build both. Just get in a room, compromise, figure it out, and let's get this thing going. I don't think soccer wants to hold up NASCAR and say, no, we don't want a racetrack. Because I go back to the original conversation about fixing up the Fairground Speedway. If you are MLS or you are Nashville SC and you have this beautiful state-of-the-art facility that you have now, do you want a dumpy old racetrack sitting next to it?
Answer, no.
No. So it's good for everyone to get this deal done, and I wish it would here in the next few days.
The way I look at it is, one, I am on board for both 100%. No secret there. Want a new soccer stadium?
Sure.
And I want a new track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That seats, he keeps throwing up 30,000. That's interesting. I would have thought maybe closer to 40, but I get it. Short track, 30,000. Okay. So you got two 30,000 seat stadiums.
And you leave it open. If you need to add more, you can add more.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing. You're kind of locked in. There's not a lot of room to work with.
Well, you can build up in certain aspects.
I guess you could. Bristol. Bristol did that.
Yeah, and Bristol, you know, 100,000, you just don't need that anymore.
100,000.
Well,
Bristol holds 160,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about 60,000 too big. They could cut off 60,000 and be just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they could cut off more than that.
They
could cut off 100,000.
They could cut it in half, quite honestly. They could.
But but
anyway, this is where I'm at. So I am 100% with both. But I will say this. There's one deal that's in hand. There's another deal that's not in hand.
Right.
And to me, you have all the players at the table with Nashville SC and MLS. Everybody's there. Everybody's ready. We thought the ink was dry. We thought the I's had been dotted and the T's had been crossed. We thought this was full speed ahead, and yet we find another snag. So while I want both, right now there's really only one side. There's only one entity that is truly a player, especially after talking with Colby Sledge. I was a little disappointed to hear that they don't hear anything from him now, when we got just the opposite message. And like he said, it's probably more driver-driven. They get it.
Well, and let me be clear on this,
SMI,
too.
SMI, the fact that they're not even...
And SMI is not NASCAR. They are track owners.
Correct.
They are part of the family.
They would be the ones, the reason it would happen. That would have to be their track.
But NASCAR...
To get a cup race here, they would have to be the owners of that track.
Yes, but NASCAR, the sanctioning body, the company, the France family, they've been out of this. And they said that. I mean, they've like, it's up to the facility and, you know, the city and all those people. They have made it known they would like to be here. But from this argument that we're talking about, NASCAR backed away.
I'm saying I'm disappointed with SMI because they're the ones that need to be active if they truly want this.
Oh, I think they're being active. I just think it's in the mayor's office. It's behind closed doors. That's what Colby Sledge was saying. That's what I took away from that.
But what's being said? I mean, all the other stuff's been public. Then let's go public with this. What's being said? Where is it?
Right. That's what worries me. Because here's what happens, and you've seen this before. Right now, it's bumpy. People are anxious because there's a holdup. But if you come to an agreement where they start building the stadium and then they reach an agreement with SMI for the racetrack, everybody's happy because you got both. But if you pit one against the other and then all of a sudden there's a deal that the stadium gets done, well, you know, the racing goes away and it doesn't happen, then you got the NASCAR people pissed off at the soccer people. And then if you go behind closed doors and you get the NASCAR deal done and you go back on the soccer deal, then, well, you got the soccer, by the way, MLS, that's already awarded a franchise, you got everybody really pissed off at the NASCAR people. You don't want that. You don't want both sides pitted against one another. And quite frankly, that's what's happened because of this and how it's been handled.
What's the new date? We probably should have brought this up with Colby. March 31st, I think.
Yeah.
End of March.
That's when,
That's six weeks.
Right. That's when they got to have
it figured out.
Well, they better hope that they have it figured out. Because from the standpoint of the stadium, I mean, it's delaying the place being built where they may have to spend three seasons at Nissan Stadium, which wasn't a part of the plan. In fact, way back when, I think originally it was supposed to be one, and then it became two. And then NASCAR is about to, you know, go through a drastic change in their schedule in 2021 because the contracts with all the tracks are up. So they can change the schedule. Now, I'm not saying that the Cup Series would come here right away in 2021. It's probably too soon. But you at least want to be in a position to have those conversations of, hey, by 2022, 2023, you know, if you want to send Xfinity and trucks here in 21, fine, but we'll be ready for a Cup race by then. You don't want that train to pass by.
Why would it be okay to start up with Xfinity or trucks, but you're not ready for Cup?
Well, I don't know.
Either you're ready or you're not. You know
what
I mean?
With the city having, you know, it's been a while. They haven't hosted the Cup Series since 84. And, you know, maybe you get this thing built and you use 1 year to try it out. And I don't know how far along NASCAR is with the 2021 schedule. That may just be too soon.
Yeah.
You could roll it all out in 22. I don't know. But that's what I mean. but you don't. You got to get all this done.
Just get it done.
Yeah, it's. I know. It's easy for us to say it's not that hard. I'm sure for those behind the scenes, it's a lot harder than it actually seems. But they have to get it done. It will be a huge black eye for the city if they don't.
It'll be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
A disaster. I don't think John Cooper wants that hanging over his head.
Yeah, because. Because
that's on his watch.
Right. And here's the deal. It's not just the MLS has awarded the franchise. It's not that the franchise has been announced. They're here. They have players.
They actually start here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they're in camp right now. They're practicing. Down to they just acquired another big player.
Yeah.
So that train has left the station. Got to figure it out.
They actually showed the uniforms. You know, they've got uniforms and
they
everything.
They got uniforms. They got a logo.
New ones, yeah.
They got everything.
Maybe about 40,000 at Nissan Stadium on February 29th.
Yeah, which is going to be awesome.
So, yeah, you might want to get going on this. Just saying. All right, we'll come back, start the fourth hour with Kevin Allen. We do that next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.